informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, The Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
Today, a place where voices are heard, ideas are shared, and friendships are formed. So why not join the information revolution at freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps.
In your mind, does the world seem inverted, backward, dissonant? Dare to think out loud. You see your rights, freedoms, your very way of life being attacked, systematically eroded. Dare to think out loud. You observe traitorous evil rewarded, stealing the future from your children and grandchildren. Dare to think out loud. You question all the jingoistic propaganda claimed to be history. Dare to think out loud. You have tuned in to the right show. Dare to think out loud. Here's an expert on original source true history, your host, the Rebel Madman, Michael Gaddy.
Well, wow, what a great introduction by my good friend Gouverneur Giuseppe. And welcome, folks, here on the 11th day of March to Dare to Think Out Loud. Of course, in today's world, my admonition would be just dare to think instead of feel and believe what you hear coming from the media and from other totally irresponsible sources of information. But anyway, I'm here today, and thank goodness I have two very good friends with me. Got old Cal Robbins from out there in Western Arizona. Cal, how you doing today, my buddy? And you better unmute first. There you go.
I'm unmuted. No, I'm doing good today, Mike. It's just enjoying the spring weather out here in Western Arizona. How you doing today?
Well, if I was any better, I'd be illegal somewhere. And, of course, I said that yesterday to a lady in Mississippi, and she said, well, you probably are. So, anyway, and also from the, man, I hate to say the great state of California. So let me just say, California, our good friend, Scorpio. Dave, how are you, buddy?
Pretty good. Let's say the formerly great state of California.
Yeah, well, how far back would we have to be for it to be great?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. Quite a ways back, but I think really things got really bad in California. Probably right after 9/11. I think that's when things really changed here.
Oh, well, I certainly can't argue that point. But today, guys, our subject is, believe it or not, the American public and what they believe. And I am just absolutely blown away. I've been looking at this Ukraine situation, and I just returned from a trip to Tupelo, Mississippi, met some friends. And met some friends on the way back. Stopped in Jasper, Alabama yesterday and spent some time with our good friend Jamie Bell. And that was a very great experience. I really appreciated meeting Jamie. And Jamie, thanks for lunch. Traveling back and stopping and talking with people, and it's really amazing that for 2 years we've been up to our eyeballs in COVID-19. And when COVID-19 began to lose its grip on the American public, what do we get? We get a new emotional threat. Russia has invaded the Ukraine. And of course, you know, they invaded the Ukraine 8 years after the United States politically invaded the Ukraine, but Bubis doesn't know that, because it wasn't on Fox News or CNN, the Communist News Network, or PMSNBC. If it's not there, America doesn't believe it. But guys, I was talking with a friend, and one of the things that just absolutely amazed me, traveling, I try to stay off of interstates. I try to travel backwards America when I travel. And doing that, one of the things you do is you pass through rural communities and you see a lot of churches. I was just absolutely amazed on my trip up and my trip back, Wednesday and Thursday, how many southern churches in Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia that I passed that were flying the Ukrainian flag. And, you know, billboards outside the churches, whatever you call those things, and, oh, support the Ukrainians against those terrible Russians, blah, 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 blah. One of the things, and I mentioned this to my friend in Mississippi, isn't it amazing that the churches are flying the flag of the United States government and the flag of the Ukraine, but somehow they don't fly the flag of Christianity? Cal, what are your thoughts on that?
I'm right there with you, Mike. I'm blown away at how easily led by the nose people are. And then, you know, 501c3 churches, they just fall right in line and just perpetuate this narrative. And this is the narrative coming from the same entity, the government and the news media, that everybody knows has been lying to them for the last 2 years, at least the last 2 years. A lot of us know they've been lying all along, but it just blows me away. Everything the government said is fake news. It's all fake news. And then all of a sudden they come out with a new thing and everybody just believes it again without a bit of critical looking at it. I just don't understand it, Mike.
Well, what amazes me, Cal, is the people who will readily listen to and agree with and react to the same government which told them that Biden won the election in 2020 and that COVID was going to destroy the world and the vaccines are safe. And they know that those were lies, but yet the next thing the government tells them they think is gospel, according to whoever. Dave, what are your thoughts on that, buddy?
Well, Mike, you know, I'm just blown away by the onslaught of endless propaganda Americans are subjected to. You know, after 20 years of endless war in, you know, Afghanistan and Iraq, not a single mention of, you know, any civilian suffering. Now all we see are crying women, babies being born in subway stations, and now the Russians have attacked a maternity ward. And I have to say the footage from that looks completely fake, showing this the Ukrainian army carrying a pregnant woman, rubbing her belly on a stretcher. You know, it just, and then there's another clip of a Ukrainian soldier putting a bandage on this woman's head. Look completely fake. I'm sorry. Just, you know, these clips we're seeing just look completely staged to demonize Russia. And then, you know, the other day I was in Los Angeles and someone had put, blue and yellow ribbons around trees all over town. There were huge billboards on the side of the freeway saying, "We stand with Ukraine," and other billboards where there's already foundations set up to give to the needy, suffering Ukrainians. Apparently these foundations were set up in like 10 days, so which isn't possible to do all the paperwork. So, Mike, I'm just seeing fakery and manipulation on all fronts here. And like you said, we've been lied to about everything, but suddenly this is real.
Well, you know, one of the things, Dave, we want to look at the hypocrisy of the American public here. And this is the reason why we're in this mess, is because of the outlandish hypocrisy of the majority of people in this country. And one of the things that amazed me was NASCAR was so proud of Richard Childress, one of their former owners, for sending 1 million rounds of ammunition to the Ukraine to help them defend against Russia. Oh, they had it all over their website, and they were oh so proud of this. And I sent a message, an email to NASCAR, and I said, how many rounds of ammunition did Richard Childress and NASCAR send to help the people at Waco and Ruby Ridge when their government was attacking them and killing them?
Well, Mike, this is also incredibly dangerous, sending arms. They're still talking about sending planes from Poland into Ukraine somehow. This is incredibly dangerous, and this could really spiral out of control, and the West doesn't seem to even have the basic instincts of self-preservation here.
Well, guys, here's one of the things I thought about many times, and I, a gentleman back in Colorado who ran for sheriff back in 2014, and he was he had been a detective in San Bernardino, California for 20 some years, and he was running for sheriff, and I really liked the guy, and he went to the post academy and, you know, the training for police officers. He wanted to be recertified so he could run for sheriff. And about halfway through, he called myself and a couple of his other supporters, and he said, could we meet for dinner? We met for dinner, and I'll never forget that Mike Steele was his name. And Mike said, you know, guys, I don't think I can do this, because these academies – these police academies are not training police officers anymore. They're training assassins. And he said, when I went through police training 30 some years ago in California, he said the major emphasis on being a cop was de-escalation of an event. You got to an event where there was potential violence. Your job was to de-escalate it. It was to remove the factor that might lead to violence. He said, now we are training our policemen to promote escalation of the situation so that, you know, that violence can ensue. Well, guys, how is that different now from what our government is doing in these issues? Rather than trying to de-escalate the situation, we are trying to escalate, promote violence. Dave, as you just eloquently mentioned. So, Cal, what is your thoughts on that? It seems like the governments always want more violence. Your thoughts?
Well, that's what government is force and violence. That, when you boil it down, that's what government is coercion, force, and violence. This guy you knew who was, you know, going to be sheriff, you know, he's talking about the rise of the police state. I mean, from when he was a cop way back 30 some odd years ago to cops today, you know, I'm almost 60. So, yeah, you know, I noticed a difference between the cops when I was a kid and cops today. They're total different animals. But then you have Bubas going around flying the police state flag, that blue line flag. It's almost as if they want a police state. Oh, wait, they do. They wanted Trump to come back at the head of the army. It's almost like these people want a dictator. They don't want the responsibility of individual liberty and individual freedom. They want somebody to just take care of all the problems they perceive in the world for them. And it just, I shudder and I cry when I think about the loss of liberty of the people.
Well, very good point, Cal. And, you know, that has amazed me over the period of time, too. But let's go back. And, Dave, I would like your comments on this. We know that this has been coming for quite a while. But why do the American people continue to fall for it? Because 1982, CIA Director William Casey said, and I quote, "We will know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false," unquote. A few years later, CIA Director William Colby, who seemed to have a problem paddling a canoe and died mysteriously, he said before Congress, "We own everyone of any major importance in the American media," unquote. Dave, why do Americans have problems believing them when they tell you what they're going to do and they do it and they still won't believe it?
Well, I think we've been trained to have sort of faith in authority figures without questioning them. I think that's the root cause there. And political power comes from the barrel of a gun, as Mao Zedong noted. And like Cal was saying that, you know, all government is essentially violence. That's true. And, you know, Mike, what really kind of strikes me about this whole thing, if we weren't talking about Ukraine and if the whole world wasn't focused on that, you know, people would be seeing what an absolute fraud this whole COVID business has actually been. I mean, so much is coming out now about the vaccines and how dangerous they are and the, you know, 10 pages of bizarre side effects and exotic diseases that it causes. You know, it's the timing of this cannot be excused. There's no way this is just a coincidence. This is I think they actually suffered a major problem here with the rollout of these vaccines. And this is a lot of this, the timing for this is a cover to stop people from looking at that, because it's absolutely outrageous how it was pushed on the American in public, Mike. And it just came out the other day that through FOIA requests that the HHS Health and Human Services paid over $1 billion to the media to promote the that experimental quote vaccine.
But, you know, and I think you are exactly right, and I'm looking for it now to bring up what was sent. Again, not to be redundant, but what was sent by a allegedly Democratic think tank. Now, this occurs 2 weeks before the Russian invasion of the Ukraine. So let's stop and look at timing here. So this group, this Democratic think tank, sends this message to the Democratic Party, allegedly. Now, when we talk about the Democratic Party or we talk about the Republican Party, they're both two heads of the same government. So imagine this letter being sent to the United States government by a think tank. Now, consider it again. I know I'm being redundant. I've read this before, but it bears repeating. And I quote, "After 2 years that necessitated lockdowns, travel bans, school closures, mask mandates, and nearly a million deaths, nearly every American finally has the tools to protect themselves from this virus. It's time for the government to take credit for ending the COVID crisis phase of the COVID war. Point to important victories like vaccine distribution and providing economic stability to Americans and fully enter the rebuilding phase that comes after any war." And then it says, "Recognize that people are worn out and feeling real harm from the years-long restrictions and take their side. Most Americans have personally moved out of crisis mode. Twice as many voters are now more concerned about COVID's effect on the economy than about someone in their family or someone they know becoming infected with the virus. Two-thirds of parents and 80% of teachers say the pandemic caused learning loss. And voters are overwhelmingly more worried about learning loss than their kids getting COVID. 6 in 10 Americans describe themselves as worn out by this pandemic. The more we talk about the threat of COVID and onerously restrict people's lives because of it, the more we turn them against us and show them we're out of touch with their daily realities. Stop talking about restrictions and the unknown future ahead. If we focus on how bad things still are and how much worse they could get, we set ourselves up as failures, unable to navigate through this. When 99% of Americans can get vaccinated, we cause more harm than we prevent with voters by going into our third year talking about more restrictions. And if we continue to hold a positive, if we continue to hold a posture that prioritizes COVID precautions over learning how to live in a world where the virus exists but does not dominate, we risk paying dearly for it at the polls in November, allegedly. But guys, this is not happenstance. This thing comes out. A survey is made of American people. The majority are fed up with the bullshit. I don't want to hear any more about your COVID. Keep pushing COVID and the people are going to lose faith in government. So what do they do? We have to have an event where good old Bubus Americanus stands up, salutes, and pledges allegiance. So what do we get? 2 weeks after this letter is sent out, or this memorandum is sent out, 2 weeks later, we have a Russian invasion of the Ukraine to get Bubus's mind off of COVID, to get Bubus's mind off the fact that the vaccine is killing people, as you illuminated, Dave. Suddenly, we have to change focus. If we don't, the people are going to catch on to the scam. Change the focus so they do it in such magnitude with the press. You can't turn on any damn thing, which I don't usually, but you can't turn on anything without something about Ukraine. You drive from here to Tupelo, Mississippi, and back, and churches everywhere are flying the Ukrainian flag. Not the Christian flag, the Ukrainian flag. And there's pledges, you know, pledge this, pledge that, the billboards, Dave, as you were talking about. How easy is it to switch Bubus from one thought to another, and by being able to switch Bubus, you control their minds, and once you control their minds, you control their actions. Thoughts, Cal?
Well, going back to the whole start of this COVID thing, I mean, it was all about covering up the largest transference of wealth ever going to happen in human history, and that's happening right now. So, you know, COVID ran out, so people were distracted with COVID. They weren't realizing just how much wealth transfer there is. And there's a stimulus check, the socialist stimulus checks. So from that, you end up with this runaway inflation that seems to be happening right now. But if you look at the narrative out there, well, it's all because of Putin. The rising price in gas, well, it's all because of Putin. But no, this whole thing's orchestrated, people. So, who's going to stop all of this? Oh, yeah, the mighty government's going to come in and save you. It's going to be like when Castro went into that classroom of kids and said, pray to God for ice cream and cake. And they pray to God for ice cream and cake, and none appears. And he says, now pray to Castro for it. And he brings in cake and ice cream. And wow, well, this government thing works. And people just don't see how they're being led down this path. I want off this crazy merry-go-round ride, please.
Well, I think back to that 1960s movie that says, Stop the World, I Want to Get Off. And you don't know how many times I think that anymore. You look around at people, and it's just like, what? But, guys, one of the things I think about, and Dave and Cal, I both want your response to this. And I'll never forget. Now, this is graphic, and this hits right to the core of it. And it came from my grandfather. And I tell you what, my grandfather could get to the core of a subject in about four syllables. And I'll never forget from some of my experiences with the government. And as a young man, asking my grandfather, who was in his 90s at the time, lived to be 100, but asking him in his 90s, I said one time, Pa, why won't the American people wake up to what is happening? Why can't they see what is going on? Why won't they believe? And my grandfather and his ability to melt everything down to a single phrase said, boy, ain't nobody wants to believe their mother's a whore. Therefore, they reject all the evidence. And the more I look at it today, and I got a email from my good friend Brad Peoples up there in Ohio. And Brad, I had told him this story some time back, and Brad gives me an example of something that's happening in his county in Ohio, and he comes back and he says, yeah, but Gaddy, nobody wants to believe their mother's a whore. Dave, give me your thoughts on that statement, please, sir.
Well, yeah, that really does cut right down to it, doesn't it? You know, I think we're just seeing the West, unfortunately, is really being exposed here. And, you know, in Mitchell was just posting in the chat that Russia plans to nationalize all the property left behind by these companies that are closing their doors in Russia. So Russia's just going to nationalize all the empty McDonald's, 850 locations, IKEA. There's actually a couple of hundred companies that are pulling out of Russia. So, you know, this opens up a bigger question, Mike, is, you know, I thought all these big corporations were in the game to make money. We're in a capitalist system, you know, it's all about making money. Yet they're going to, McDonald's is going to close 850 locations, and Starbucks is going to close hundreds of locations. IKEA is going to close all these locations. I thought they were in the business to make money. And what I see, Mike, is we're being played here that, you know, clearly these corporations are sort of these larger corporations are merely an arm of the government. And, you don't want to see that your mother's a whore. That's right. Our government is a whore. And so are the corporations that surround it.
Exactly. Cal, your thoughts, buddy?
Well, I have a question. Has Putin and the Russian government, have they rejected the petrodollar and basically told the central banks, giving them the big finger and told them to go pound sand? Is Putin, I mean, my question is, okay, what is Putin's game here? I mean, if he's made the central banksters mad, then yeah, the central banks are going to pull McDonald's and Starbucks and IKEA and all their other corporate entities they control out of Russia to try and economically hurt Russia. But the only reason they would do that would be because Russia is a threat to them of some sort. That's just going through my head.
But Cal, I understand that. But here's my point. And I made this with BB9 and DW a couple of weeks ago. If this letter comes out and tells the government, hey, you got to get off your COVID routine, you've got to adapt something else to captivate Bubis's brain, and they immediately jump into Russia invasion of the Ukraine, does Putin not have to be in on this?
I would take that into consideration. Say, yeah, Putin would have to be in on this, and he's just playing his part. That all of this is staged. That's my fallback. It's all staged. I look at it from that position. Okay, why is Putin doing it? And just trying to put the pieces together. And the pieces aren't fitting together, but I'm not jumping on any bandwagon saying, aha, this is the way it is. I'm still trying to figure it out myself. You know, I don't see the Ukrainian government as anything great for the Ukrainian people from what I've understand.
Well, true there. Here, let me throw this other thing out that's been a development of the last few days that is really ironic. We have, Tucker Carlson, and I haven't watched him. I'm depending on what other people tell me and people I trust, are telling me he's really been on a kick here for 2 days about the biolabs in the Ukraine. And that, and of course, then comes almost the immediate denial. The United States has no biowarfare labs in the Ukraine. Ah, that's nothing. That can't be true. And then yesterday, or a couple of days ago at least, the Senate is doing an investigation on it, and Marco Rubio, you know, that wonderful guy that is not eligible to be a senator, but he is, Marco Rubio says, hey, gosh, Victoria Nuland, while you're here, let me ask you something. And he was hoping, I believe, he says, are there really biowarfare labs in the Ukraine? And, of course, you know, she was responsible in many ways for the 2014 deposing of the democratically elected chairman of the Ukraine. And she I think she surprised him. Watching his reaction, watching his facial reaction troubled me. And he asked her, expecting her to say, no, there's no way. We don't have those there. She says, yes, we have them there. And we are extremely troubled that if Russia takes them over, what they might do with what is in those labs. Whoa, what? We are producing biowarfare viruses in labs in the Ukraine. I added the viruses, people. That wasn't mentioned. But we are creating bioweapons in the Ukraine. America is paying for this. And we are troubled that if Russia gets control of them, what they will do. And, of course, old Rubio very quickly changed the subject, which I found very, very, very telling. Dave, are you aware of that, and what are your thoughts?
Yes, yes. And Victoria Nuland even admitted this now, but they just called it, you know, she tried to sanitize the whole thing. Oh, they're just research facilities, and we're concerned that the Russians may get a hold of some of the material, the research materials. So, and they're already trying to turn around, you know, that Russia may start a bioweapons attack now if they get a hold of our research materials. Mike, this is all incredibly dangerous, and, you know, this whole idea of bio research labs, you know, sort of building better pathogens, including viruses, and there's a whole other array of pathogens that they work on. You know, this is finally at least coming out to public knowledge, and of course, you know, this COVID, whatever it was, I'm not convinced it was actually a virus. It may have been just another research pathogen that they've been spraying on us. You know, so at least this is actually coming out into the public sphere that, yes, these weapon labs are real, and bio research has been going on for a long time. And China is claiming that America has something like 360 bioweapons research labs in 30 countries around the world. So, just today, Russia is calling for some kind of international treaty, you know, regulating and limiting these bioresearch facilities. Of course, that'll fall upon deaf ears because we're not even supposed to know about any of this, Mike.
Oh, that's true. And Dave and Cal here, both you gentlemen are familiar with PNAC, right? The Project for the New American Century?
Oh, yes, yes. Victoria Nuland's husband, Robert Kagan, was a prime player in that.
Now, it came out in 1997, and they were going to try to get Bill Clinton to push this thing, but unfortunately, Bill Clinton was eyeballs deep in a blue dress, and he couldn't really do this with any credibility, so they passed the Project for New American Century on to George W. Bush, you know, and so here we have, and in the Project for the New American Century, the statement was made, you know, that Americans are never going to accept this, our proposal, without a new Pearl Harbor. And ironically, on the night of September 11th, George W. Bush says to the American public, what we have before us, people, is a new Pearl Harbor. Well, deep within that PNAC document, which I have, deep within that document is for the United States to be the world's leader and to be dominant in the production of bioweapons, biowarfare. Now, Dave, you made the connection. Robert Kagan was big in Project for New American Century. He is there proposing bioweapons labs Victoria Nuland in 2014 kind of becomes the proxy leader of the Ukraine, and we have bio warfare plants in the Ukraine, of course, now, which we deny, but which she admits are there. She's just afraid of the fact that the Russians are going to get control of these things. Cal, what are your thoughts, sir? Cal, did you fall in a hole?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, now better. It sound like you fell in a hole.
Yeah, I moved the mic on my headset. No, I don't have an absolute thought on this. Like I say, I'm still trying to figure all this out. You know, I mean, getting past that there's a good guy, bad guy thing. It's like, okay, they're all bad. And it's all detrimental to the progress of humanity. And I'm just trying to go through all of everything that's going on with that in mind, you know, just trying to see how these pieces fit together. Because so far this picture is, you know, it's a mosaic right now. I'm trying to figure it out, at least in my mind.
Oh, Dave, do you foresee or did you predict a relationship between PNAC and these bio warfare labs in the Ukraine, and of course all over the world, as we mentioned before?
Well, I don't know that I foresaw it, but it certainly fits together in the larger, you know, mosaic here for sure. And it connects with this Operation COVID hoax, where I think they released some kind of fairly benign, bioweapon of some kind, enough to scare the great, you know, unwashed masses, but not enough to be any real threat to any members of the elite. Because isn't it interesting that not a single world leader or top elite guy died of COVID? I found that interesting.
Well, you know, guys, both of you, and here's something I brought up 2 years ago. I said one of the barometers we can look at to tell if this is real or if this is a giant perpetrated hoax is let's look at the proportion, the percentage of the American society that catches COVID, the percentage of American society that dies from COVID, the percentage of the American society that gets the vaccine, the proportional percentage of those who have adverse reactions to vaccine and die. Now let's compare that with the 545 members of the ruling class in America, Congress, the President, and the Supreme Court. What percentage of our Congress has died from COVID, gentlemen?
0.0.
What percentage of our leadership, that 545 people, what percentage of them have had adverse reactions to the vaccine?
It's looking like another goose egg there, Mike.
Wouldn't that be representative if the same thing is happening? If you take a certain segment of society and you take them out of the overall picture and you look at them and they have had, of course, they claim that a few of them had COVID. They had to. But how many died from it? How many had to be put on Remdesivir? How many of them had to be intubated? How many of them actually died in percentage proportions to the American population? If that 545 people were totally insulated from any results from this, gentlemen, there's a message there somewhere.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah. What do you think the message is, Mike?
I think the message is that Bubus Americanus is about as stupid as a damn rock.
Right. And now they've got themselves wrapped in a Ukrainian flag, waiting to escalate this situation further.
Yeah, what if we could convince Bubas that the Ukrainian flag was toxic and it actually contained COVID?
Uh-huh. What if they put a big swastika on the Ukrainian flag?
Yeah, you know, guys, I'm sorry, and I'm, you know, I never have claimed to be the sharpest knife in the drawer. But I tell you, there are so many things we can sit and look at here, and a couple of the things I've been trying to draw up on social media is the absolute hypocrisy of the American public. You know, we look at what is claimed that the Russians are doing, and, oh, it's so terrible. Oh, there's got to be something done. We need to send them ammunition. We need to send them guns. But yet.
What about Palestine?
Well, let's look at Waco. 34 children were gassed to death by this government at Waco. The people were burned in their homes at Waco. By our government. Why is it that when our government commits absolute murder, no one seems to care? But if some other government does, oh, we've got to run down to the church and raise the flag. Go ahead, Cal.
Well, aren't they saying that the Russians bombed a schoolhouse or something? And that's a war crime of sorts?
I'm sure.
Hasn't the United States done the same thing in Afghanistan and Iraq? Proxy what? Through the Saudis in Yemen and through the Israelis in Palestine? Hasn't this been going on? So wouldn't the United States be just as guilty of the war crime as they're trying to label Russia is on? And this isn't
when America does it, it's not a war crime. It's collateral damage.
How about carpet bombing Baghdad? Shock and awe. But that was all smart bombs, of course.
Hey, you know, jumping back in history, guys, and I don't mean to really take away from the subject here, but I was doing some research not too long ago, and I found it incredible. You guys have heard of John Marshall, right?
Yes.
Okay. I believe he was he Secretary of State during World War II? Would I be correct in that office?
Yes.
Okay. Well, what did he threaten Japan with in August of 1941? He said, we are going to send B-17s into Japan from the Philippines, and we are going to bomb your paper cities with incendiary devices and burn you to the ground. He said that in August of 1941. Let me see, August, September, October, November, December, the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor.
And the Philippines.
Yes.
And the Philippines, yes. And I would blame them. This country, which has the capability of doing exactly what it's saying it's going to do, the United States, is going to bomb our cities from bases in the Philippines. It would be behooving upon the Japanese government to remove the ability for the American government to do that, wouldn't it? That would be called self-preservation, self-defense. Gee, you kind of have to agree with what the Japanese did there in invading the Philippines.
Oh, well, guys, you know, we mentioned PNAC before, and I know this crazy guy who back in 2003, almost 20 years ago, published an article about PNAC. And at that time, he published it in an internet location known as the Sierra Times on March the 2nd of 2003. And he quoted a Neil McKay in the Scotland Sunday Herald. And he said, this Neil McKay says, a secret blueprint for U.S. global domination reveals that President Bush and his cabinet were planning a premeditated attack on Iraq to secure regime change even before he was inaugurated in January of 2001. The blueprint, uncovered by the Sunday Herald, for the creation of a global Pax Americana was drawn up for Dick Cheney, now Vice President, Donald Rumsfeld, Defense Secretary, Paul Wolfowitz, Rumsfeld's deputy, George W. Bush's younger brother Jeb, and Louis Libby, Cheney's chief of staff. Scooter Libby, he became to be known. The document entitled Rebuilding America's Defense Strategies, Forces, and Resources for a New Century was written in September of 2000 by the neoconservative think tank Project for the New American Century. I have that entire plan, gentlemen, and I know the guy who wrote this article very well. The plan put forth by PNAC reveals, regardless of whether Saddam Hussein was in power in Iraq, an attack there was preordained. Maybe this can explain why they continue the war to beat the war drums, no matter how many times this administration is caught lying about Iraq. Inside the document prepared by PNAC is the following, and I quote, "The United States has for decades sought to play a more permanent role in Gulf regional security. While the unresolved conflict with Iraq provides the immediate justification, the need for a substantial American force presence in the Gulf transcends the issue of the regime of Saddam Hussein," unquote. The document also outlines a blueprint for maintaining global U.S. predominance, including the rise of the great power rival and shaping the international security order in line with American principles and interests. The American grand strategy must be advanced as far into the future as possible. To facilitate their plans, the military cannot be constrained by the Constitution. The plan calls our military the cavalry on the new American frontier. In other words, the new American frontier is wherever our government declares it to be. Ooh. And in this PNAC plan is the domination of the world by the United States through bioweapons. Cal, your thoughts, my friend?
It just blows you away. What's this grand American grand strategy? I mean, this is sounding like, you know, Manifest Destiny 2.0 or a redo of the whole Rome Pax. Oh, man, Pax Americanus? Really? Some people just won't give up on empire, will they?
Well, you know, it started with Alexander Hamilton, 1787. He said we had to have an empire. So,
but the American people just go along with it. It just blows me away. So many American people think that their business is overseas with other countries and other peoples. But if those other peoples came over here and tried to interfere in U.S. business or anything, they'd get all offended, but they have no problem meddling in the affairs of others. I just don't understand the lack of doing to others as you would have them doing to you, golden rule type thing. Oh, that's right. They booed Ron Paul when he mentioned that, didn't he? Didn't they?
Well, wait a minute, Cal. Wait a minute now. America has God on its side, buddy.
Which God?
We can do this stuff because we are a Christian nation, and we're allowed to kill people and call them collateral damage. Those damn Russians can't do that. They don't have God on their side.
I don't know. I thought Putin was back to Christianityizing Russia again. I guess that would be a word to use. He kind of like kicked the Muslims out, hasn't he?
Well, just... not only that, but people have quickly forgotten that the largest Christian community in the Middle East was in Iraq before we declared war on them.
Oh, and the second one was in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And they lived peacefully alongside their Muslim brothers. Because Bashar Assad made sure that that's what happened. I mean, they called him a brutal dictator. Well, that's because he didn't allow people to beat up on other people because of their religious beliefs. So if that makes you a brutal dictator, then I guess you got to wear that moniker for protecting people's religious liberty.
Oh. I don't
know. Well, that makes you a brutal dictator.
Do either of you gentlemen, is the name Tom Dalyell familiar with you at all?
No.
No.
Okay, Tom Dalyell was the leader of the House of Commons in the UK, and he was one of the leading British voices against the United States war with Iraq. And he said, in a direct quote, "This is garbage from right-wing think tanks stuffed with chicken hawks, men who have never seen the horror of war but are in love with the thought of war and the idea of war. Men like Dick Cheney, who were draft dodgers in the Vietnam War. This is a blueprint for U.S. world domination, a new world order of their making. These are the thought processes of fanaticist Americans who want to control the world. I am against that." Hmm.
Well, my war isn't so bad as long as other people are doing the fighting, right?
Oh, absolutely, man. That is just what a great point. And, right now people are talking. I've seen people on social media. If you really want to see a grand collection of idiots, there's a great place. And they will talk about, gosh, I couldn't go off to war. I couldn't even imagine letting other people go off to war and I stayed at home. That would just be, I can't imagine that. They appeal to the passions of people. What if you're going off to war to kill people for the international bankers? Is that somehow to be glorified and to be called as heroic and patriotic?
What happened? When
the bankers declare your enemies, it's not, these people are not, they're enemies to the bankers. They're not enemies to America. It just blows me away. And Dave and Cal, would you guys like a copy of this article this crazy guy wrote back in 2003?
Most definitely. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He's some crazy guy. He goes by the moniker of Rebel Madman.
Yeah, RMM.
Yeah.
I think so, I've heard of that guy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, stay the hell away from him. He's nuts, I promise you.
He might be nuts, but he's been pretty accurate. In fact, pretty much 100% accurate. Going back through articles from years gone by.
Oh, well, sometimes it's kind of interesting to go back and read this stuff that I wrote 20-some years ago. And, the other day I was looking at one that I wrote 11 years ago where I predicted the pandemic.
Yeah.
Now, folks, I'm not doing this because I'm some kind of erudite who has inside knowledge. All of the predictions I have ever made have been based on history. These are the things that have happened. And those who fail to learn the lessons of history are those who are destined to repeat its mistakes. You look at the past, and if you have a good knowledge of the past, you are able to predict the future. Because as old Dandy Don Meredith used to say on Monday Night Football, you gotta dance with who brung you. And this group of bankers who used the United States American military as their enforcement arm all over the world have convinced the American people that to send your sons, daughters, brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers to war to die for them is somehow a valiant pursuit in the name of liberty. Cal, help me out here before I hurt myself.
Well, when you send, American soldiers off to fight other people's wars, doesn't that essentially make that American soldier a mercenary?
Well, you can't say that. Wait a minute, Cal. That's the truth. But you can't be saying that.
I asked that question. It's rhetorical, but is that not essentially making an American soldier a mercenary, fighting other people's wars? Not really any different than the Hessians that fought for Great Britain in the Revolutionary War. Throwing spitballs out there against the wall.
That sounds pretty good to me. Dave, you want to carry us through to break time, buddy?
Well, I guess the big question on my mind is, why should any American actually care one way or the other what happens in Ukraine? We should be neutral and wish the Russians and the Ukrainians well and hope they work it out soon and try to broker a peace deal as soon as possible. Instead, we're trying to escalate things on all fronts, even dragging other NATO countries into the conflict. I mean, this is truly insane. And you have to wonder if our so-called leaders even have the basic instincts of self-preservation now.
Well, they believe that because of their connections, they can survive anything. They truly do. They believe because of their connections, damn the people, hey, go out there. We don't care how many of you die. We don't care how many of you we kill with bombs or vaccines. We don't really give a damn. But, we will and shall be protected. And when we come back on the next hour, guys, I want to talk about PNAC even put this crap into a book, gentlemen, back in the 90s. They called Present Dangers. So we'll get into discussing that. Go ahead, Cal. I'm sorry, buddy.
I just wanted to draw the parallel you just kind of put out there. You shared the story about the sheriff who said, the police, they no longer tried to de-escalate anything. And that's a really good question. Why isn't the United States trying to de-escalate this situation? Well, using its influence to de-escalate it. They're doing the same thing the sheriffs were taught, or the sheriffs doing the same thing the government's doing. All right, just putting it out there.
All right, thanks, Cal. All right, folks, come back and visit with us on the flip side of Dare to Think Out Loud.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Interested in the paranormal, murder mystery, real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio, Studio A, freedomslips.com. Welcome to the crypt.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for free association. when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Well, welcome back, folks, to Dare to Think Out Loud here on the 11th day of March in the year of 2022. Dave, before we progress much further, would you please tell the people how they can contribute to Revolution Radio and the support, the free speech that is offered here, sir?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, everyone listening has to remember that, you know, you're not going to hear any kind of information like this anywhere else. And, of course, freedom isn't free and neither is free speech. So, you know, it takes money to keep the servers going and the behind-the-scenes bills. And nobody at Revolution Radio is paid. All the money goes to expenses. So the hosts aren't paid and neither are the management. So come aboard freedomslips.com. That's freedomslips.com or revolution.radio. And become a Patreon member or go on the Zazzle page and go to the store there, and there's all kinds of cool things you can buy, from t-shirts to shoes to hats. Everything is there. Or scroll down to the bottom of the front page, and there is a way to mail in money the old-fashioned way, using snail mail. So come aboard and help us out, guys.
Thanks, Dave. Guys, I would like to jump into this PNAC plan because I think it's extremely relevant today. 20-some years old, but I think it is more than relevant, and I think it will reveal to many people exactly what was going on in the mindset of these people. Of course, Robert Kagan was a neoconservative, and his wife, Victoria Nuland, was a far left-wing Hillary Clinton supporter. Folks, that has to show you that this government is no different, depending on who wears a blue mask, who wears a red mask. This government is the government. The illusion is to make you think there's a difference if there's a Democrat in charge or if there's a Republican in charge. There's no such thing. This government keeps marching forward under these kind of plans. And so let's look at what the PNAC plan said. That we support a blueprint for maintaining global U.S. preeminence, precluding the rise of a great power rival, and shaping international security orders in line with our principles, the American principles, and the American interest. This, quote, American grand strategy, unquote, must be advanced as far into the future as possible. The report calls for the U.S. to fight and decisively win multiple simultaneous major theater wars as a core mission of its existence. Wonder why we've been at war for 20 years, people? It was planned. And the PNAC plan refers to key allies such as the United Kingdom as the most effective and efficient means of exercising American global leadership. And it describes peacekeeping missions as demanding American political leadership rather than that of other countries. It reveals worries in the administration that Europe might rise and rival the U.S. And it also says that even should Saddam pass from the scene, bases in Saudi Arabia and Kuwait will remain permanently. Despite domestic opposition in the Gulf regimes to the stationing of U.S. troops, as Iran may well prove as a large threat to U.S. interest in Iraq as well. Spotlights China for regime change, saying it is time to increase the presence of American forces in Southeast Asia. This, it says, may lead to American and allied power providing the spur to the process of the democratization of China. It calls for the creation of U.S. space forces to dominate space and the total control of cyberspace to prevent enemies using the internet against the U.S. government. Think about how well that Facebook and YouTube has played into this game. And then, pardon me. And then it hints that despite threatening war against Iraq for developing weapons of mass destruction, the U.S. may consider developing biological weapons, which our nation unfortunately has banned. It says this new method of attack, electronic and biological, will be more widely available. Combat likely will take place in new dimensions, perhaps in the world of microbes, advanced forms of biological warfare that can target specific genotypes may transform biological warfare from the realm of terror to a politically useful tool. 8, pinpoints North Korea, Libya, Syria, and Iran as dangerous regimes and says their existence justifies the creation of a worldwide command and control system. Wow. Thoughts, Cal?
My first initial thought was JFK's thoughts about that he mentioned to brother and whoever else was with him when they left that meeting where it was proposed that the U.S. government attack itself and blame it on Cuba. What was he said about those people? They're friggin' nuts or something like that?
He said, according to official records in the Library of Congress, he said to his brother Robert Kennedy and to Dean Rusk, those sumbitches are crazy.
I would have to say the same thing about these people that wrote this PNAC. They're freaking crazy.
Well, Dave, Cal, go ahead.
No, to me, that's just psychopathic thinking. I think that, this is what we're going to do to rule the world. It's like a never-ending episode of The Brain. I don't know how many people remember that cartoon. It was one of my favorites, even as an adult, just watching that one. But, these people are crazy.
Well, Dave. This
is not liberty, people.
No, far from it. Dave, shouldn't it scare the American people? Shouldn't it have scared the American people that in the 1990s there was a think tank that would later control the Bush administration? Most all of these people in PNAC ended up being high-ranking people in George W. Bush's administration.
Well, this is megalomania on parade, and, you can't overlook the fact that almost everybody in the PNAC was Jewish, let's be honest here, and they're actually all neocons, which are sort of descendants of the Trotskyites. So that can't be overlooked either, the origins and the sort of background of these people. It's megalomania on display. And, it's interesting, Henry Kissinger made the observation that truth doesn't matter. Perception is what matters. And that's precisely how these people operate, and it's extremely dangerous thinking when you completely divorce yourself from truth and go on, perception or propaganda.
Well, Dave, what did the wonderful Henry Kissinger say about the American military man in the 1960s?
Oh, I think he called them useless eaters and cannon fodder.
He said they were poor, dumb, stupid animals fit only for foreign policy objectives.
Yeah, well, war isn't so bad if you're not the one fighting. I mean, it's really amazing. And again, when you divorce yourself from truth and divorce yourself from the consequences of anything you might do, it's other people that suffer the consequences. You have people that look at themselves as, godlike. These are the same, idiots that think we're going to have transhumanism and human beings are going to become immortal and we're going to become one with machines. This is all a profoundly, insane thinking that is completely devoid of any spiritual understanding or any alliance with the Creator. It's incredibly dangerous, Mike.
Well, guys, stop and think about this. How many times does this government have to tell the American public what they're doing? How many times do they have to tell Bubas before Bubas catches on? They come straight out and tell us over and over and over again. They tell us what they intend to do. And yet, we still fall for their shady deals. What do we have to do, guys, to wake Bubas up to the fact that, hey, they're not only doing this, they told you they were going to do it, and you're still too damn stupid to catch on?
Well, that's just it, Mike. They must be too damn stupid to catch on. You mentioned in that PNAC document they talked about Space Force. Oh, didn't we just get that a couple years ago through the prior regime? Administration? Regime? They told you this was going to happen, and then it happens. And, no, it's not that way. It's just, you bring more pictures to the, pieces of the puzzle, put it in this mosaic, and the picture becomes more and more clear, but I guess Bubas just can't see it at all. It's crazy.
Oh, well, Dave, I don't have it in front of me right at the period of time, but if you'll give me the first couple of letters of your email, I'm getting this article off to you from 2003. I don't want you to give out your whole email address here, but give me the first couple of letters and I can pick it up.
Oh, it's D-R.
Doctor.
Yeah, D-R.
Ah, thank you, Dave. I got it. All right, Dave and Cal, the PNAC, my article in 2003 just left on your way through cyberspace.
Thanks, Mike.
All right.
Mike?
So, yes, sir.
I'd like to bring up a point, Jennifer, in your Riddleman chat program. She brought up a point. And let's say that I offered you $50,000 to go kill people. Well, wouldn't that end me, you know, land me in jail or for life or even under lethal injection?
50 grand, man. Hey, Cal, I did it for $124 a month.
Well, that's just the point. If I did that as, you know, a regular person and offered it to you, we'd be going to jail. But if I put a uniform on and offered to it and said, here, you put this uniform on, now all of a sudden it's okay. How does that make it okay? How does the uniform make it okay to go off and kill people who haven't done anything to you? I don't want to be accused of blaming the military of being assassins. I'll leave that up to, what's his name? Or his racket? Smedley Butler. I'll leave that up
Smedley
to
Smedley Butler.
I'll leave that up to him to say that.
Well, and it's kind of like if you or I were to just print up a bunch of paper and hand it out to people and call it money, we'd go to jail. Just like we would if we lent out 10 times the amount of money we actually have to people, money we don't even have, lent it out tenfold, we'd go to jail. But when you call yourself an international banker, then somehow it's legitimized, and government is what makes it legal through the barrel of a gun.
Guys, do you remember – Walter
David,
Reagan.
Are you saying? Yeah, I remember him.
Okay. Dave, do you remember the late, great Walter Williams?
Yes.
Probably one of the most intelligent men in our country for years. And coincidentally, he happened to be black, but that makes no difference. Walter Williams said something very profound. He says, how would you know if your government is doing something that is illegal? Because if you did the same thing, you'd go to jail. Now, isn't that what you guys just touched on here?
That brings up an interesting point, because part of, you know, this is, I try to understand, why do people have this clinging on for government? Why do they insist on it? I mean, you know it's tyrannical. You know it's oppressive. Yet people cling on to it. Yet it was just illustrated how things that are illegal and or immoral for the individual to do all of a sudden become okay through government. So is this part of the reason why people cling to government, is so that they can get away with immoral and or illegal acts against their fellow man?
Absolutely. Absolutely, gentlemen.
Is this why people have this cognitive dissonance about government? And this government? Especially like Christians. I mean, how un-Christian is it to just go off and slaughter other people in other countries?
The churches love it, man. They have all kinds of celebrations for these people who go kill people they don't know for money.
Yeah, you know, it's all this, you know, pray for Ukraine and all this stuff. But the government, this government, the U.S. government and other Western governments are not doing anything to try to de-escalate this. They're not in there trying to, well, let's arbitrate this. You know, let's have some detente going on here. Let's, you know, stop the slaughter of people on either side. There's none of that. All they're trying to do is escalate the problem, just like cops today do. They don't try to de-escalate the situation. They escalate the situation. So and the people cheer.
Well, and isn't it interesting that we have two predominantly Christian nations killing each other right now?
You still there, Dave?
Yeah. Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear him.
Okay.
Mike's breaking up. Yeah. Go ahead, Dave. Mike's breaking up a bit.
Well, it's interesting how we have two predominantly Christian nations at war with each other, killing each other. And I don't hear any Christian churches in America pointing out this fact and demolishing it, saying how bad it is. Instead, we're supposed to pick a side and hate one and love the other. It's really quite insane when you think about it.
Well, that's
Mike,
thing.
Are you there?
I think we lost him. I'm showing him on here, but I'm not hearing him.
Oh,
that's on mute.
Mike is muted. Mike, you're muted.
Muted. Mike, you're muted.
There you go.
Well, guys, you guys dropped off for me. I muted myself because I was going to try to reconnect. But you guys, Dave, you started something, and then both you guys went just totally dark for me. I had nothing there for about maybe 45 seconds. My apologies. I'm still here.
Okay. Well, good. Well, Mike, I was just pointing out that here we have two, predominantly Christian nations at war killing each other. And I don't hear any Christian churches in America pointing this out that, hey, Christian versus Christian killing one another. This is bad. We should not be taking sides. We should be trying to stop this. We don't hear that. Instead, it's like, oh, let's support the Ukrainians. Stop the evil Russians. But, you got Christian versus Christian. And it's odd how, the president of Ukraine is Jewish. And the top officials in Ukraine are Jewish. That's strange.
Well, it's amazing to me, guys, when I look at this, is that, and here's the bottom line question. And I know this one's going to make me just a whole big cheering section. But are these people in America who claim to be Christians, are they Christians or are they slaves of a government? And do they believe they have a voice because they're conservative Republicans? People, as a conservative Republican, you have no more voice in this government than that oak tree I'm looking at out my window. It's an illusion. You think you have a voice because they allow you to vote. But the only people you can vote for are the ones that are pre-selected by the people in government. I just can't understand why the people in this country can't wake up from this stupor they're in. Help, guys.
Well, I think one thing, too, is America has always been well insulated from the after effects or the immediate effects of war. It's something that someone else's country gets blown up. Someone else loses their house. Someone else gets blown to bits. And I think that's part of the reason why America can sort of cheer on these wars from their armchair as they drink a beer and watch football.
Well, David, but it happens here. Let's look at Waco. Let's look at Ruby Ridge. Let's look at other places. When it happens here, the people, especially those good conservative Christian Republicans, take the side of government who has just massacred its own people. We said that we had a right to go into Kuwait in 91 or 92 because they were throwing babies out of incubators. And a few months later, we were killing babies in Waco with gas. Why is it? What is this American exceptionalism thing? Why is it that if someone else commits an atrocity, it is just absolutely terrible, but if the American government does it, it is sanctioned and covered with the oops, collateral damage. Sorry, it happens. Help me out here, guys. I'm lost on this one. This one has baffled me for decades. And I still go back to what my grandfather said. Boy, nobody wants to believe their mother is a whore. People, the American government is a whore.
Well, the media, the government has the media to demonize whoever needs to be demonized. And I don't know how they convinced Americans that it was okay to, burn children alive because supposedly the Branch Davidians were selling illegal weapons. It is baffling, Mike, but I think it shows the power of propaganda and the power of mind control.
Well, Dave, I remember the sheriff of, what is that, McClernand County or McClendon County, whatever it is in Texas, and he made a statement after Waco. He said, okay, the federal government declared that those children in there were being molested, so they decided to kill them all, and that's good? What if we did that practice in American history today? What if we said, oh, well, that guy down there, that pedophile, he misused that child. It's just terrible what he did. So let's kill the kid. Where is reality in the minds of Bubas? Where the hell is it? Help me out here, Cal.
What thoughts that go through the mind of Bubas comes directly from the TV to him, through the lobotomy box. It's just, perhaps that's why I don't relate to it, is I don't watch that lobotomy box at all, and so I'm not subjecting myself to that indoctrination on a daily basis. I mean,
Dave?
If somebody lies to you all the time, when do you quit listening to that person? You know, when has a little boy cried wolf too many times? You know, how many times has Chicken Little got to say the sky is falling? Am I relating nursery fairy tale stuff that other people aren't aware of?
Well,
do not teach things anymore.
Well, you're right on here, but how do you get a group of millions of people who have just been lied to for 2 years? 2 years ago, oh, we can flatten the curve in 2 weeks. Oh, it'll all be fine. Oh, let's implement warp speed. We'll get rid of this stuff. Oh, you know, gosh, let's take the guns first, due process second. Oh, blah, 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 blah. And they still fall in line like a bunch of idiots. I'm sorry, guys. I am just totally confused. And I stop and I think again about the wisdom of my grandfather. And this one is a little rash too. It's not quite as rash as people don't want to believe their mother's a whore. But I said, why when you show these people the truth, Grandpa, why can't they understand? Why do they reject it? And he said, boy, you can add all the mayonnaise you want, and you can stir like hell, but you can't make chicken salad out of chicken shit. Is the American public chicken shit? Can you not give them enough information to where they can pull themselves out of their own stupidity? Gosh, guys, I know I'm getting a little rash here, but I'm getting tired of watching this stuff. I'm getting tired of watching people go lockstep, standing in line, marching, up, two, three, four, right along with whatever the government tells them.
Yeah, it is amazing, Mike. But I do think, you know, every day the numbers dwindle a little bit. Just from my, you know, experience talking with people whenever I go out into public, I always – I'm the kind of person, I'll just start talking to a complete stranger and see what they have to say. And, you know, I'm seeing more and more, you know, so-called normies in Normieville starting to question things at least a little bit. You know, so I do see a glimmer of hope there, but unfortunately you have a certain percentage of people, Mike, that are just unreachable. They will dance to whatever tune is called and do it, gleefully.
Oh, Dave, that makes me so sad. That makes me so sad because I know liberty and freedom cannot exist in an environment of stupidity. And I, you know, I'm an old guy. You know, what's coming is what's coming. And I'm ready for it. I don't care. Bring it on. But the thing that bothers me is what are our children and grandchildren going to have to live through because we were too damn stupid to pay attention? Cal?
I would just have to say, well, if you choose to be ignorant and stupid, yeah, at 20, 30, you will own nothing and you will like it.
Oh, Klaus Schwab. Yes, there it is. Wow.
I mean, you're making predictions because, you know, Mike, they understand history too. You know, the art of war, these people, they've studied Sun Tzu. They understand the art of war. They know how to do this stuff. They've been doing it for centuries. So,
well,
this is what they're doing. They're playing 3D, 4D chess, and the American people are still trying to figure out how to play checkers.
Oh, boy, that's a great analogy, Cal. And, you know, I stop and think about a couple of people. I think about Patrick Henry, who said, I know of no way of predicting the future but by the past. And I go back a couple of centuries, and I think of Marcus Tullius Cicero. And I think of what he said, and then I look around me today, and I realize how exactly spot on he was back then when he said, a people who are ignorant of their own history will be forever children. Now, what are we seeing but a group of children who willfully just jump in line and do whatever the boob tube, the lobotomy box tells them is truth? They believe it and they react accordingly. Dave, is there a solution?
Well, that's a good question, Mike. And, you know, I haven't seen such a litany of emotional footage. I mean, they're pushing all the emotional buttons with this Ukraine thing. And that's when, of course, rational thinking goes right out the window. I mean, it's all about the pregnant women and the suffering of the civilians and the babies and the refugees. I'm just shocked by just the onslaught of just this hyper emotional propaganda just to designed to reach into your heart and into your mind and manipulate how you think. As far as a solution, you know, I think there's got to be a decentralization of power. And frankly, I wish someone would tell me, what do we need this federal government for? It's the federal government that's causing these problems, and the state governments have more power than they need to govern the people. So I think that'd be a good starting point. But of course, I don't see how we get there. I really don't. It's going to have to collapse upon its own corruption, its own evil nature. Unfortunately, I think we've gone too far. It's just going to have to play itself out now, Mike.
I couldn't agree more, Dave. What are your thoughts, Cal?
I'd have to agree with Dave on that assessment. I don't see, it's got to play out. The train has lost its brakes. It's going downhill and it's headed for the cliff. And it's gaining momentum.
Well, you know, is there anything, guys, and we look at this, and we've all talked about preaching to the remnant. And we go back to Isaiah, and there are a group of people out there that need to hear what we have to say. They need to know that there has to be something else when this thing falls apart. How can we better do what we're trying to do now? Dave, you go first.
Well, yeah, I mean, there has to be some kind of reorganization based on people who value liberty and see through this, you know. But unfortunately, I don't see how we get there at this point. There's going to have to be a lot of suffering and a lot of destruction happen. And unfortunately, I think what's going on too is that our so-called government has actually changed sides. I think they've already secretly aligned themselves with the Chinese, the communist Chinese, and plan on using the Chinese and possibly the Russians to install a completely new system in which, you know, I mean, if you want to see the future, look at the way China is ruled and the system they're under. And I think, you know, there's already been sort of a secret alliance as this happened by the top elite to change sides and essentially allow the intentional destruction of America as we know it.
Well, guys, you know, the thing I think of so many times is 1 Samuel chapter 8. Give us a king. But look, gosh, if you get a king, guys, these things are going to happen. You're going to be taxed to death. You're going to be, you know, you're going to have to march in front of the king's chariots. You're going to have to do all of this other stuff. Of course, I'm paraphrasing. And the people then said, well, we don't care. Give us a king. Is there always going to be that segment of society that wants to be slaves to a superior government? Cal, your thoughts?
Yeah, probably is always going to be one to be a segment. And it's probably going to be the majority. I mean, it's kind of always been the few and far between. that have pushed the understanding of natural rights and of rightful liberty. It's always been that way. And I guess it was Bottier who said, even if you remove liberty completely from the face of the earth, there would still be those few individuals out there, speaking about the remnant, out there who that yoke just will never, they will never shoulder that yoke of oppression. And I'm just amazed at how many of my fellow man are willing to shoulder that yoke of oppression when really you don't have to. You don't. Give liberty a chance. I mean, I'm told this is a Christian nation, and then I'm told that I'm given my rightful liberty by that Christian God. So why wouldn't I trust in that Christian God in this Christian nation and trust in that liberty that I've been given instead of trusting in government, which is the exact opposite of liberty? Well, centralized government, because liberty is self-government. I don't understand it.
Well, we go back, again, you look at that. I think it is verse 5 where it says, make us a king to judge us like all the nations. And, we look at that. And then what are they told? Your king shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen. And some will even run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give it to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take a tenth of your sheep, and you will be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you. But the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us. Guys, does any description better fit what we're staring in the face today?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Dave, your thoughts?
Well, yeah, Mike, it's hard to deny what you're saying. And, we're seeing a complete attack upon, Christian values in this country. And really, you cannot separate Christian values from Western civilization. I mean, the Christian values is what created Western civilization, whether you like it or not. That's just a simple matter of fact. There's no way to deny that if you're intellectually honest. So we have a society that's completely divorced itself from that, and intentionally we've been led away from that. And as soon as you have a people with no morality, no moral compass, it necessitates a police state, number one, and it also creates a civilization where all that matter are things, commercial things. And that's exactly where they've steered it, and that's exactly where we are now. And like it or not, we have to go back to some kind of moral compass that is based on Christian values. Otherwise, all is lost, quite frankly. I don't see any way around that, as unpopular as a sentiment as that may be.
Well, I certainly can't take any objections to what you just said, Dave. Cal, you can't fix that which was meant to be broken. Is that an accurate statement?
That would be true.
I am still amazed. Even encountered a guy on Facebook today, a guy I knew back in Arkansas, who was telling me he didn't have time for deep discussions of politics because he was too busy promoting political candidates, in essence. He didn't say the last part, but that's what he meant. Can you reach people like that, or is that something you just have to say, well, you know, toss that one off, let me move along to someone else?
That would be a move along.
Yeah.
If I don't, basically say, I don't have time to stop and think, Mike.
Well, and they're also saying, whatever you do, don't make me have to think. I'm busy here doing stuff. Well, as our
right,
we'll
let
good
other
friend,
people run our civilization. I don't want to be part of it. I'm too busy making money and buying stuff. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. Well, guys, what is it that is so hard for most people? Cal, you go first. Why do you think that the majority of people that we see every day don't want to know the truth? Don't tell me that. I don't want to hear it.
I think they're scared of the truth. Because if they actually face the truth, they'd probably actually have to get up and actually do something other than just show up at the polls every 2 years and vote. They actually have to do something, to make a change. And basically, all you have to do is just be the change you want to see. And it's not that hard, you know? Quit using government to force other people to do your will. I mean, you don't want people to use the government to force you to do their will. You know, this is back to the golden rule. Don't do unto others or do unto others you would have them do unto you. I don't understand how, you know, in a supposed Christian nation, that isn't more prevalent. Yet it's just the exact opposite, which I would say score one for the great deceiver on that. In this battle of good and evil, I would say that evil winning.
I remember something else that used to have some very great discussions with my grandfather. And he asked me a question, and I was too young to grasp the importance of it. But he asked me one time, he said, boy, now here's a man with a second grade education. He said, now, boy, he said, do you think that America, and this was in the 60s, he said, do you think America might actually be Babylon the Great? You guys want to comment on that?
Well, I think where we are now certainly fits that description. And going back to your earlier question, Mike, you know, I think the problem is that the world that we actually live in is so far divorced from what the average person thinks the world is and how the world is run, that it would completely destroy their paradigm of reality. And for most people, that's just information overload. They can't handle it. And as the saying goes, you can't handle the truth. You know, I think that's unfortunately where it's at. But, you know, I don't think it has to be that way. People have been so-called educated to be a certain way and shaped, you know. And so if you could start with a new generation of young people and really truly educate them in the classics, literature and ancient, sort of the ancient mythology, like they used to teach all that in high school, along with, you know, basic, Christian values, I think you would have a very different civilization. But unfortunately we have a public school system that is hell bent on teaching young children the benefits of being a homosexual and a transsexual and all kinds of other bizarre things that's designed to steer humanity into a dead end.
The 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto, you're saying, Dave?
Yes, yes. Good point.
Wow. So, Cal, is there an exit from this madness?
Not an obvious one. Not one that most people would want to do. I mean, just pursue rightful liberty. Because most people don't seem to want to do that. They want to pursue control over others. I mean, The Ukraine thing, the Russian-Ukraine thing, what business is it of the United States? If the United States was to do anything, it would should be to offer the broker some kind of peace. But yet, it's not. I mean, and the people are cheering on the escalation of violence. They're cheering on the escalation of death and destruction. Not just in the media, but through the churches, through the pulpit, through social media. I mean, apparently if Facebook allows you to criticize, you know, all Russians. Now, all Russians, even those Russians who are against the war, against Russia invading Ukraine, all Russians are bad Russians. The only good Russians are dead Russians now. And this is how people are manipulated. But how do people not see how evil that is? And this is how evil works.
Well,
manipulate you by emotion. And how can people not step back and take a look at it and see it for what it is?
Well, and guys, if you step back a little bit and just look at the basic demands that Russia is making, they're all more than reasonable. I mean, they don't want Ukraine to be part of NATO, which is completely reasonable. They want Ukraine to remain a neutral state, and they don't want Ukraine to be highly militarized. So there's plenty of room to work out some type of ceasefire and a negotiation, but instead, you know, we're doing the exact opposite. And again, this could really spiral into something incredibly, incredibly dangerous.
Well, guys, here, I think this is a good point. I was talking about this with my friend Mike Clifford yesterday, I believe. Remember that old phraseology called mutually assured destruction? Do the leaders of this, do the international bankers think they could survive a nuclear holocaust?
Yes.
What do you think, Cal?
I don't know. I mean, a nuclear holocaust, that's definitely going to change the world a bit. And, you know, you got to remember these central bankers behind all of this, they're human too, supposedly. So it would affect them as well. I don't know.
Well, you've got these network of underground cities, you know, Mount Weather, for example, that are all connected by these high-speed maglev trains. So they think they can just ride it out. I really do think, as insane as that sounds, I think they can just ride it all out.
But the nuclear winter, how do you survive that nuclear winter? I don't care if you're underground, because you do away with the production of all food sources. How do they plan to survive that?
And then having enough people left over to have as slaves later. I mean, that's like destroying your whole cattle herd.
Yeah.
It's, like I say, I'm still fitting pieces of this mosaic together. I don't have a definitive answer other than to know that, you know, I think both sides are wrong. They mentioned, you know, Ukraine or Russia's, you know, what their demands were. You know, two other demands were to say that those eastern provinces, Donbass and whatever, L something or the other one, would be recognized as independent entities, not part of Russia. He's not saying that these will be ceded over to Russia. He's saying these will be their own independence. Is Putin trying to decentralize Ukraine?
Well, it was okay for Yugoslavia to be broken apart, wasn't it? And NATO even helped facilitate that through by bombing Serbia, right?
Oh, well, guys, I tell you what, it's such a deep subject, you know, when we look at this. And, you know, I was trying to remember the 19th century minister who said, and I find this very remarkable, when you look at all of the troubles of society, you can trace them back to the pulpit. And I also think of Jeremiah 56. My people have been led to the mountains by false teachers. How bad are we in that mess, guys?
Well, I'm going to kind of go with Dennis Diderot when he said that men will know freedom when the last politician is strangled by the entrails of the last priest. To me, I mean, it's bandied about, you know, Christian, you know, Christianity and all that stuff, but how much of Christianity has been hijacked by the elite to serve their needs?
Well, guys, I go back to 1933, and this is documented. There was a German pastor in 1933 who said, Christ has come to us through Hitler. How many Christians thought that Christ had come to them through Donald Trump?
Quite a few. I know some myself, Mike.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah. A lot of the Trump people are that way, too.
Well, folks, I would suggest, for those of you who might doubt that last one, I would highly suggest a book called Hitler's Cross. And it said that during Hitler's reign, the swastika meant more to German pastors than did the cross. What have we just talked about the Ukrainian flag and the American flag presented at the churches instead of the flag of Christianity?
Yeah, it's a sad state of affairs.
History just keeps repeating itself, doesn't it?
Perhaps it should be examined, what are these Christian principles that people keep bandying about?
Well, that's a good one.
What exactly are these Christian principles? To follow the teachings of Christ or to follow what your pastor says? Man, I hear two different stories all the time. And me, I choose to follow what I read in the Bible and the teachings of Christ. Man, that sets me at odds even with my Christian friends.
Oh, that pastor I was thinking of before, gentlemen, his name is it was Charles Finney. And so you folks get a chance to look up what Charles Finney said, that the problems that people face, that society faces, can be traced back to the pulpit.
Well, with the 501c3 thing, they've turned churches into corporations, essentially, businesses.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's not about liberty and freedom anymore.
No, not even close. Not even close. And you go back to good old Red Emma Goldman, the anarchist, of course, because she wanted a life without government. She must have been a communist, right? How many communists have you ever seen without government? But anyway, Emma Goldman said, and she nailed it, she said, Americans do not want to be free. They want to be comfortable. Well, folks, your comfort is about to end with your $5.5 gallon for diesel fuel and your four something for gasoline and food prices going off the scales. How well is that working out for you? Let me know.
Well, it's edging up to $6 here in California already, and I predict it's going to go much higher.
Well, I think you're right, but isn't that, Cal, you mentioned before that starting in 2020 we went to the largest transfer of wealth. Aren't we now participating again in another phase of the transfer of wealth because we're taking our money and giving it to the oil magnates?
Well, yeah, it's all, and it's scripted to be that way, but everybody, they blame Putin. Let's blame Russia. You know, let's ignore the fact that there was how many trillions spent through the stimuluses? How much did Congress just pass to spend on an omnibus bill? $1.3 trillion more dollars? Where's all that money going? Where's all that money coming from?
Yeah. And so now we take care of our people, our oil people. We take care of them again, just like they've been taken care of through so many acts of the government. We take care of the oil industry. We just took care of the pharmaceutical industry. Now let's take care of the oil industry. Who else do we have to make rich before this thing falls apart, guys?
military industrial complex, Big Agra. Look at food prices. Big Agra. We got to take care of those. All of these are just entities or subdivisions, subsidiaries of the banksters, just like the government is.
Well, yeah, go ahead, Cal.
Well, people, they talk about Pfizer, they got fined $3 billion for some lawsuit or something. Who'd that money go to? Did it go to the people it hurt, or did it go to the U.S. Treasury? So was this just a kickback?
Well, Cal, the same thing happened in 2008, 2009, 2010. The same thing happened in the housing industry.
Exactly.
When Wells Fargo got fined a couple of billion dollars for the homes that they had stolen from people through fraud, did the people get the money or did the government get the money?
The government got the money, and the shareholders got golden parachutes, and nobody went to jail. Wait, didn't that happen back in 1787 with the writing of the Constitution?
Oh, yeah. Well, wait a minute. That Constitution, man, that's our key to freedom. Don't forget that, Cal.
Yeah, how's that working out?
Well, so far it's not working so good, but you just got to hang on because somebody out there somewhere has a magic bean. And if you just wait, they'll come up with a magic bean and everything will be fine.
Wait a minute. You mean that law just passed in Alabama for constitutional carry isn't a magic bean?
Well, it might be. That's, constitutional carry. I don't need the Constitution to tell me I can defend my life and my freedom.
Dude, people are celebrating it. Man, they passed constitutional carry in Alabama. My question is, well, if you're in Alabama, can you now have a fully automatic weapon? An RPG?
Well, yes, you should be able to have anything the government owns or the police owns. You should have that because how can you protect yourself from someone with superior firepower?
Exactly.
Well, we're about to run out of time here, guys. It's been great. Dave, Cal, I really appreciate you guys coming along to help us through this. Guys, tune in on Sunday night to my old pal DW and myself as we talk about addicted to your own destruction. Dave, you want to give them a quick rundown on your program tomorrow?
Well, sure. Tomorrow I'm going to have Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson come on, and we're going to try to get some information on what's really going on in Ukraine. As Cal said, it's hard to put the pieces together. So many pieces aren't fitting. Then hour three, Russ Winter, proprietor of Winter Watch, is going to come on. So, and he lives, fairly close by over there in Slovakia, so we'll get his perspective on this, too. And I'm going to delve into the colossal failure known as the vaccine rollout and the scam known as COVID hoax.
Well, thanks, guys. Really appreciate you. And, folks, help out Revolution Radio. See you next week on Bear Out Loud.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We talk about decentralization and